Welcome to this episode of the Business Beyond Borders podcast. My name is Eric Snow, and I'm taking over the podcast from the U.S. I'm an entrepreneur, I work in the beer industry, and I'm part of the IBA team here in the States. I'm going to do four short episodes with Cynthia, where we cover some of the key questions people ask us all the time. Today, we're talking about market research. In the first episode, we talked about why. In the second, we talked about some of the common mistakes. And in the next episode, we're going to be talking about the checklist of things you need to do before you get started. So Cynthia, thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, Erica, it's great to have you hosting my show.
So can you tell us in a few short sentences what the IBA is?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a structured program for business owners who want to take their company international. And the way that it works is that there are three parts to the program. There is a capability building piece, there is a coaching piece, and there's an accountability bit. So in the capability piece, each month we run a class for IBA participants. We work on a piece of thematic content related to part of strategy. So it might be something like choosing a market or international marketing or funding and financing. There's a whole range of topics we do. In the coaching piece, we get people to come with the homework that they had from the class. We look at the homework and how people have gone with that, and we get them to really take what they've learned in the class and implement that into their own business. So that's about creating a customized strategy that's right for their company and the market that they're going to go to. And the third piece is an accountability piece where we pair up each person on the IBA with a buddy, somebody else who is from a different company but on the same journey. And the job of the accountability buddy is really to keep you accountable and to encourage you and to keep you going on that journey of taking your company offshore.
So market research means different things to different people. Can you talk about how you teach it in the IBA?
Yeah, I will. I guess maybe I should just start by telling you why I think it's really important, because a lot of people are going to be like, ugh, market research, you know, who cares? What I see is that people are often really excited when they think of starting their international business, and they build up this big picture in their imagination of how well the company is going to do. The problem is that without data, that is just wishful thinking. And the reality is that until you actually do your research, you are going to have no real idea about how likely you are to succeed. And the answer to whether you're going to succeed depends on a few things. It depends on your core competencies, but we talked about those a couple of episodes ago, and that's really around what your company does better than anyone else. It depends on the country that you're targeting and whether what you sell is going to work there. And thirdly, it's about the competition. So who else is already operating in the space that you're going to go to, and how well do they have that market cornered? How we teach it at the IBA, well, look, we get people to go through and to start answering some of those questions that I've just touched on. So we get people to work out what they're really good at. We get them to go in and research the country that they want to expand to and find out whether or not what they're going to sell is actually going to sell and whether people are willing and able to pay for it. And we get them to look at who else is operating in that market and whether they can go in and do something complementary and fill another space, a blank space in the market, or whether they intend to go in and take on the competition head on. And then we get them to work out, well, how are we actually going to do this? You know, what strategy are we going to use?
Can you give me an example of a success story without using any business names? Somebody who's been able to use to do some market research, enter into a market, and really do well.
Yeah, so look, I mean, we have a client who joined our program about a year ago, and he didn't even know which country he was going to go to. And he had half a dozen in mind, and he was thinking of doing several of them concurrently, and I'd discouraged him from doing that. Now, he has selected one market. He's gone in and seen what else is being offered in that market and really surveyed the market and has looked at the competition, and he's picked a niche in the market, which is the Singaporean market. And the way that he's done that is he has gone and he's just finished brokering a strategic alliance with a very, very large firm. His firm is small. The firm he's partnering up with is very large, but he is taking his service, which is very niche, and he's going to work with that firm to actually provide a customized version of his service to the many clients of the very, very large firm. And That alliance is really only at its starting point now, because, you know, the process of going international is not something you do in 5 minutes. It's taken him all year to really get to that point. But in saying that, he has already won a couple of large multinational clients from doing that process of working out his market research and, you know, looking at who he's going to appeal to and how he's actually going to convince people to buy from him.
So when thinking about market research, if I said the phrase to you, analysis paralysis, how would you describe that in terms of people in your program when they're thinking about choosing a market?
Okay, so there are kind of two ends of the spectrum when it comes to research, and analysis paralysis is one end of the spectrum. Analysis paralysis is really, you know, where you realize that research is a bottomless pit and you are a bit frightened about expanding internationally. So you just keep researching and researching and you kind of go, well, I have to answer all these questions before I can decide. And so you never actually step out and take any action. That's, as I say, one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum, which is more common, is where people get carried away by their big idea and they don't do any research or almost none. And they just launch out and get started with trying to sell things. It usually blows up in people's faces when they take that approach. So the question really is, though, not how much research do I need to do? It's what do I need to know? And the essential question that you have to answer is, are people likely to buy from me in this target market? And if you don't know the answer to that question, and if the answer is not yes, then you shouldn't be selling anything in that place.
So how do you determine the answer to that question?
Well, there are a few types of research you can run. And again, it really depends, you know, what kind of company you are and what resources you've got at your disposal, because large companies spend millions of dollars on this stuff. So, I would say if you can afford to commission to the market research, that's great. Go ahead and commission market research and do that. If you don't have the luxury of cash to spend on that, there are some things you can do yourself. There are a few types of different research. The first one is research who else is selling something similar to your product in the country that you want to target. So, you know, or if you haven't actually chosen a market yet, find out in which countries similar products to yours are being sold and who's selling them, and try and work out, if you can, how much that company is turning over in a particular market. So you can work out who's selling something in a particular market. That's one thing you can do. You can also look at trends in markets. So, if you sell products that are related to babies, you should be targeting countries which have a decent amount of disposable income and a young booming population. You shouldn't be targeting somewhere where the birth rate is going down and most of the people are old, because that is really a market for example, aged care services. Or if you sell air conditioning, go and find a country where there's a construction boom underway, because where there's a construction boom going on, people are going to need air conditioning. They're going to need lift technicians or plumbers or interior designers. So let your decisions about where you're going to go be guided by what else is going on. So this is about kind of looking outside your bubble and looking at macro trends. On a more micro level, you can go and talk to potential customers in the country you want to go to. So ask them, what do they need? Ask them what they want. Ask them additional questions like, how much would they be willing to pay for the kind of thing that you're selling? The more that you can learn about what they need and what they want and how much they're going to pay, the better off you're going to be in terms of making a decision. You can also ask people if they would buy now. So if you already have potential customers in mind, ask them whether they'd be willing to buy something from you immediately. You know, just say, if you like the idea I've pitched you, can you put down 25% now to get it? And watch their response. If they aren't willing to put down any money at all, they're basically telling you that they're not going to buy what you're offering. And some cultures won't tell you straight out that they don't want to buy. They'll give you an answer like maybe or later, or I need to think about it. So watch people's reactions.
So those I really like that fourth one. You know, just ask people to buy now, because it really allows you to test the water in ways that just doing research on your computer won't.
Yeah. And, you know, Eric, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than making a whole massive marketing campaign and launching at the price that you think is right and then just having no reaction.
Yeah. The other thing, the reason I like it is that it gives you traction immediately. So if somebody says yes, you can already say, well, I've already sold to blah, blah, blah in this country, and if you already have this many units or this much service hours or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So I enjoyed that section. Like I said, I like the buy now. Just make them buy now.
Uh-huh.
So thank you so much for the time. And the next one, we're going to talk about the checklist.
Yeah, we are. And folks, don't forget that if you enjoyed today's episode, you should subscribe on your favorite platform, whatever that is. Right now, you can subscribe to us on SoundCloud or on iTunes, and we will have more platforms coming soon, so do keep an eye out for those.
You can also find more information at the following URL, internationalbusinessaccelerator.com.